But the reason I inquired was, even Muriel next door, she said, she thought, oh, I don't remember the forge being like that. And I thought the free press had got the picture muddled up, you see. Because, I mean, the forge I remember, give it one good push and it would have dropped down.
Yes, yes, I think that's right.
Are you responding people?
No, I didn't think
it was.
We've lived here for 10 years now. We came in 2001.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where do you come from?
Well, we started off in Kent. We were both born and bred in Sidcup in Kent. When we got married, we moved down to the Medway Towns in Kent and down to Gillingham and Rochester. And then we moved up to Essex, and we had 10 years in Essex, and now we've had 10 years in Swording.
Well, as I always tell people, I was born on the riverbank.
Yeah, so
in a cottage, mind you.
Yeah.
In Swording.
Yeah.
In Swording.
So where the anchor is, the one that burnt down.
Yes, yes.
Just along from there, wasn't
from
it?
From there, between there and the... West Hollow Bridge.
Yes.
There's a little garage left, isn't there?
Yes,
just
that's
a showroom
right.
or whatever. Yes. Yeah. And this side of it used to be a white bungalow, a white house, cottage, till a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then the next cottage was my parents'.
Right.
But I was born where the council houses are.
Yes.
There's
yes,
one there with a big, I think it's a radio ham, because There's a big aerial, isn't there? And there was a load of cottages down there.
Yeah.
Before all those houses was built.
Yeah.
And I was born at my auntie's house across the way.
Oh, right.
You know.
Yes.
But my parents lived on the river bank. And,
What sort of size houses were they? Because it doesn't look very deep, that part of it. I mean, the anchor's not very deep in terms of...
Oh, there's only cottages,
two up, two down.
Like I was brought up in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that was like that. Yeah.
Pretty good in the garden.
Yes,
and I suppose you've got the river out the back, haven't you, really? I mean, excellent.
And that, as I say, I mean, I remember the forge just as a child would do.
Yeah.
With the cobble floor and everything else, and the horses being there, chained, you know, he'd got a big ring where they used to fasten them up to.
Yeah.
While he was, if he was seen to one would be chained up.
Yeah.
And that, and the smell, you know.
Yes.
Yes, that must have been quite
bits and bobs all hanging from the beams in the ceiling, that's all, really. It's them sort of things.
But that's fascinating, because kids today wouldn't know about that.
Oh, no, used to stand there, and and then next door was Rumsey's fish shop.
Yes.
Have you been to see that lady?
No, not yet. No, that I rang her up, but she wasn't there, so I couldn't organise.
No, Laura. Yeah. Mm. No. Well, she's Rumsey's daughter-in-law, I think you're.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, she's Harry's wife.
Yes.
And that she's. Cause
she lives in London Road. I think it's the big house.
London Road, does she?
Big house that sits back and was originally a little B&B or a little hotel.
I thought Laura lived in a bungalow opposite the birds there.
We're going to go and find out. It's 10 London Road she lives.
Oh, 10 London Road.
Which I think is the one, which is the house.
Who's the lady you're going to see?
Mrs. Hurd, I think.
Hurd?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a big house that stands back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was Pam Jenkinson.
Right, okay.
Yeah, she was Pam Jenkinson.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was, that was first marriage, was it, or...?
Oh, no, love, no, she's only been married once.
Ah, right, okay.
No,
right.
I thought when you said it was her daughter...
Yeah.
Was it you who spoke to me, you said it was her daughter?
Yes, I've... All of the
daughter-in-law.
As I say, it's
I don't know where she comes in for that. My Mind you, I mean, I don't know all the relatives.
Yeah.
And that, you know. But as far as I know, Rumsey's had one daughter, Jean.
Yeah.
They, like, fostered or adopted him, was Harry Legg.
Yes.
And his wife, he's died, but his wife lives in a bungalow. You know where the birds is? The, well, it's the Hungry Horse now, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, I know what you mean, the pub, yes.
When you come at the bottom of Albert Street,
yeah.
there's a bungalow sloshways and then one on the straight. And she's the first one on the straight to look down Low Roads, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and I know what you mean, yes. Yeah.
Looks down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, she is the daughter-in-law of Rumsey's fish shop.
Right. So, Rumsey, Mike Rumsey, who we used to know, I wonder how he fits into the...
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a common name. I don't know.
Oh, no. Fascinating.
Well, Rumsey's... they only had... As far as I remember, they only had Jean.
Mm-hmm.
That was the daughter. And they had Harry Legg, who they took to. So, but Harry didn't go to Australia with them.
Right.
They sold up...
Yes.
And all moved to Australia.
Right.
But they're all dead now.
Yeah, yeah.
Harry's died, Jean's died, and Mr. and Mrs. Rumsey are.
All right.
But Laura, as I say, lives at that bungalow.
Oh, okay. Yes, well, there's someone else to follow up who would know a little bit more about the family. And
yeah, they'd know, she'd know about the fish shop more.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Jeff and I presume you knew Jeff's dad as much as you knew Jeff as well.
Yeah, he was there. You know, I can remember an elderly chappy sort of doing the irons and everything else and shoveling the coke and whatnot in the fire.
Yeah,
and I can remember another old chappy there, but. Whether he would be Jeff's granddad or whether it was a helper.
I would think it's probably his granddad.
Yes, that's what I was working.
Yes, would it be his granddad?
I don't know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because in the picture that's in the paper, I think that's Jeff's dad and his granddad. And they're doing the two that are doing the shoeing. And the two people holding the horses are... Presumably, who they belong, the horses belong to.
They belong to, Yeah, the draymen and that, they used to bring them along, you know.
Yeah.
Because they used to be at the top of High Street, just before you got to the bridge, there was a pub there called the White Lion.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in them days called... Mark Thorpe owned it,
right.
And he'd got stables at the back.
Oh, right, yes.
And, because he used to go to the market on a Tuesday, and horses and things, you know.
Oh, right, okay.
And so I think he used to take them down High Street too.
Yeah.
But I can remember the chain bridge.
Yes.
It used to be like a mangle handle in the middle.
Yes.
And I remember mangles, yes.
I do, I had one for years. I had one for years. And that. And in fact, it's not that many years since I got rid of mine.
Yeah.
And that. And
and you used to have to go to Jeff or to the forge for the handle, didn't you?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And we used to stand on it as kids. I mean, we weren't supposed to do, but we did. They used to give us a ride and swung it round.
Oh, right.
You know, for the barges to come up and down to Ploughman's and them up the road.
And Birches, was that up
there? Birches, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, there used to be Ploughman's and Birches there.
Right, yes.
And there was like a little wharf where they pulled in.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but they used to go up one way and back again because of High Bridge. They couldn't get no further than there. And it wasn't wide enough them to turn round.
No,
so they went up and back.
And then they went into a little inlet where Westload Street is and turned round there?
Westload Street.
Near where the fire station, just the other side of the fire station.
Where the police station is.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They could have possibly, because there was a little wharf.
Yeah.
There for them to pull up to the side.
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't be dead straight, see. You'd go.
Yeah.
Sort of pull in a bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
In case anything else was
going past.
Down the
river. Yeah.
You know, so possibly, I mean, they could have turned round.
Yeah.
But a lot of them seem to go up and back down.
Oh, okay. Yes,
yeah. I've never ever seen any turn round.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you could miss it.
Yeah.
Couldn't you?
No, it's just what I've been told, that's all. And they used to go into a little inlet. When it was open as a river, that Westload River coming into the well end there, and they used to go up into that and then back round again to go back out. But
they could have done same as at the other side where the brewery was.
Yes,
because there was another forge in that down Tower Lane.
Right,
but that I think belonged to the brewery.
Right, yes.
Because a big chappy worked there, Harry Hallam, his name was.
Right.
Because where the brewery was at the front, there were some little cottages, and then Tower Lane.
Yes.
And there was a forge.
Along there?
Down there.
Yes.
And, of course, in them days, they all used to be drays.
Yes,
and
that's right.
And that for the beer and what have you.
Yes, lots
and,
of
And I think, and there was a cut in there.
Yeah.
And I think the barges used to come the other way.
Oh,
then
right.
Up.
Oh, okay.
You know, to the brewery. I'm not sure because I didn't go that end of town when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know.
Because I think it's fascinating how, when you were young, the hub of the town was up round the forge, and the high street was very much a high street. But it's gradually moved into the Corn Exchange and...
Oh, no, no.
Ah, right.
No,
right.
No. It's always been... it's always been the, like it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Tell a lie. Admitted, there was a bit more going on because there was Plowman's and the Birchers.
Yeah.
And... but there wasn't shops... There was one shop. Two or three. Sorry. There was Gowles at the top now, come to remember, at top of High Street. They was corn merchants.
Yeah.
Then there was another little shop. I forget what it was, but it was then turned into the very first milk bar in Spalding.
Oh, really?
Some James had it.
Yeah, in the 50s, was that?
Yeah. Mm. At late 40s.
Yeah, the start of the war.
Milk bars came in. That was American, all had milk bars and we used to go there as teenagers, you know, and whatnot. Thought we had dog's dinner and... it's funny how things, you know, happen and... and then you suddenly remember, oh, so-and-so was there.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it was, but it's always, the market has always been where New Road.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where the cattle used to
be. Yes,
yes.
And then coming up into Hall Place and the Corn Exchange.
Right. It just seems that... I was talking to Jeff and he sort of, I got the impression that there were a lot more businesses round in the high street. Because he locked himself out the other day and he walked round and he within sort of 100 yards of where the forge were, he listed, maybe a bit bigger than that, but he listed about 50 different businesses and things that were going on in that area of town.
Well, there was the forge, And then that side of the forge was the chippy.
Yeah.
On the other side of the road was the...
Was it co-op?
The co-op.
Yeah.
Yeah, the co-op. And then there was what you called Law's Yard.
Mm-hmm.
There was one, two cottages, and then you went into a big yard.
Yeah.
There were several little people with garages and different things. And,
right, okay.
And I don't know whether that was possibly...
No. Yeah.
Tommy Laws. It had something to do with Tommy Laws the Butcher.
I was going to say, when you said Laws, I thought, is that the Butcher family?
Yeah.
And when you said Tommy, then I thought, yes, it's T. Laws.
Ah, but that was the old man.
Oh, right.
That wasn't
the... Not the one that's now, but obviously,
I'm trying to think of what his name was. Lads that got it now, they're the grand and great-grandchildren of Tommy.
Right.
Oh, but they are still Laws, yes.
Mm. Yeah, they are. Right. But the Laws used to live in the big house on Albion Street, but I don't know whether it still is. It's Swallows, the dentist.
I know where the dentist is, but I wouldn't know the name of the dentist, but...
Just up, more or less opposite Chainbridge now.
Yeah.
Because Chainbridge is a little bit further up.
Yeah.
That used to be old Tommy Law's house.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And then where the forge was here, across the road, the co-op used to be there, and here...
Mm-hmm.
I think they used to call it Rose Cottage because it was a little oldy worldy cottage.
Right.
And then like a cheese wedge, sweetie shop, what was Mr. Godfrey's and his wife.
Yes, I've heard about that.
Penny chews and things like that.
Yes, Alec talks about that, doesn't he?
Yeah. And then behind that, on the front of Commercial Road, there was... I don't know, there was a cottage and then a tall shop, which was Mr. Seaton, the baker's.
And this is where you were telling me about the little penny loaves.
The bread cobs, yeah. They used to be like a little ball of bread.
Yes.
Yeah. And when he'd done his baking, you know, his bread, he had a big old wicker basket like this, all stood in the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to see him cut them off.
Yeah.
And just roll them like this in the oven, they'd go.
Yeah.
And then when they was finished, you used to bring them out and just drop them straight in this basket.
Right.
If you was at the right time, you got them warm. If not, they'd gone cold by the time you got there. And then we used to stand and make a little hole, pull all the dough out the middle, and then go to Rumsey's shop. By the time we'd got from there to Rumsey's, we'd eaten the middle out, and she'd fill it for tuppence for chips.
Ah.
So we used to have a chip butcher then.
Lovely. How exciting.
Many a time. But I don't know whether, if you're recording it, I don't think I ought to tell you this next bit about the bridge.
Go on.
Just Well, as I say, I wasn't very big, you know, when I was first married. I was only about 7 stone, so you can tell I was a tippler. And this particular night, me and my husband, we'd got a tandem by then.
Yes.
And he did so want to see this film. Well, we was running late, and one thing or another, well, I put a pencil slim skirt on, you know, what they used to be.
Yes.
With a great big slit up the back.
That's right, yes. You waddled rather than walked.
You know, jiggle.
Yeah, that's right.
And, of course, we did this, and then... he said, oh, we'll go on bike. We'll miss first bit of picture, if not.
Yeah.
So I said, I can't go like this. I can't get on it. I said, I'll go and check. He said, you haven't got time to change. Come on. And that, well, Auntie and Ethel that was in the house, and they both come to the window to see how I was going to get on with tandem, because it was a man's back, you know, a man's back and front. Rums is at the fish shop. His brother used to live across the road from us, you see. So we went outside Rums's again, and he got this tandem and he bent it right down like this. I just lift my leg up like that and he slid the bike. Till I rose up with the back of the bike. Well, we was okay till we got to the chain bridge. Now, I never know to this day where that policeman came from.
Of all the times.
He was behind the post of the bridge where this mangle went. Well, we never saw him at all, and you wasn't supposed to ride across the bridge.
Right.
You could take a bike across, but
not to ride it. Yeah.
No. Well, of course, with all this fiddling, racing, sit on, I'll push over. Well, out come this policeman, right in the middle of the bridge.
Yeah.
And he said, off. I said, I can't get off. So he said, I'm telling you, off that bike, you're not to ride across. I said, I'm not riding, he's pushing me. Well, we had a bit of a barney, you know, and like that. He said, I've told you, off. And so I said, oh, there's nothing for it. And I thought, well, he can't bend the bike down because it won't wide enough and whatnot. I thought, oh, there's nothing for it at all. Shut your eyes, Val, and think of England. So I got hold of my skirts like this, pulled them up, stepped off the bike. I walked over the bridge. I got back on the bike and pulled my skirt down, off we went to some more pictures. Racing. I couldn't believe
you did that.
I couldn't believe I did it. I said, well, I was so annoyed at him. I said, making me get off that bike. I said, I wasn't biking, you was pushing me. You know.
And
I was so annoyed. I was so annoyed. I said, oh, all right then. And off I stepped and off I went.
Good for you. Good for you.
But now there's lots of things you do remember at the time.
Can I ring you back in a little while?
You need a little prompt sometimes. I mean,
hello, can I ring you back in a little while?
You know, they're all there. They're in our memories.
Yeah. All right, then. Yeah. Cheers.
You just need a little bit of prompt.
Bye.
And they go, oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, it goes on from there then, because you've remembered that, and then it goes on, and then it goes
but
on.
But the worst thing I do remember of the forge, and any horse that used to be about, was my auntie. She always liked horse manure for her mushrooms, because she used to have like a double box with hay and horse manure and that in the bottom, and then this other mixture, I don't know what it was, on the top, and then a mushroom used to grow, you see, in the top box, because the heat grows, you see. And she used to have this in the shed, and of course she liked to rhubarb and one thing and another, and mum used to like to, you know, dig the straw and everything else in the garden for manure, how it was in them days. And I always, if Auntie knew there was a horse about, I had to go with the bucket and the dustpan up there and shoveling it up. Well, you can imagine a girl of about 11 and 12. I mean, it wasn't very dignified walking up there with a bucket and a dustpan and that, shoveling horse manure. But Auntie was a very, very kind lady, but she was also very strict. And if she said no, she meant no. She was a bit Maggie Thatcher type, you know. Put her foot down and you did not go against her. You know, but if you was in trouble or you wanted anything or babysitting, whatever, she was there for everybody. Anybody that went to the... Because everybody called her auntie. And she was always there, you know. But, oh no, I used to hate it. Hate the job. And she used to say, there ain't been no horses, I say. I said, no, no.
as I
got older, there was never no horses as I got older.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That's years ago.
Yes, yeah.
And that. No, there'd been cottages all the way along that riverbank for years.
And then from the forge back into town, what was it? What was that just riverbank?
Sir John Gleed's house was on that side. There was nothing there. Then there was nothing else then until you got to Birch's.
Yeah.
And then Plowman's was a little bit further up, I think. And Elsom's was there. You know, Elsom's seen people. Yeah. And he was there.
Right.
And then there was another big house on the corner of Holland Road, which has been front bit's preserved, but the back bit was the unemployment exchange tax office and
the
tax,
all that was the gardens. Yes.
Yeah. And then used to come Dr. Munro's, the big house, and then Plowman's, as I say, and then there was the doctors again. Then there were Johnson's, the agricultural people. Then there was Mark Thorpe with White Lion. And then, as I say, there was a house, tall house, right up to the pavement edge, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Dougie James's milk bar. And then there was Garwell's on the corner, the court merchants.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then you was High Bridge.
Yes.
But all that side of the river, I can't remember from the forge up to the top that there was anything there.
Right, so that side, was always as it is today. Yeah.
That's more or less as it is now.
Yeah.
And that. But it's the other way.
Yes, yes, I
When understand. They started. They started this side of... I don't think there's any houses there. It was where the anchor is. They, I think there's one or two cottages this side, then the anchor. Then there was several cottages, and I think there was a little chip shop there somewhere.
Right, yes.
And then you went down as far as the garage.
Yeah.
And then I don't think there was any more houses till you got to the bridge.
Right.
And that.
Was there a pub further along there? What was it called?
There was the Barge pub. That was opposite.
Ah.
You know where the green... There's like a hairdresser's and a spa shop or something. And then there's a big house.
Right.
What used to be the Barge pub.
Oh, right.
And then, as the Barge pub is there, there's a little like slip road goes round to some houses at the back.
Yes, I know what you mean, yes.
Is that called the Barge?
Don't know.
Or
don't know.
Roadway, anyway.
Yeah.
And that there, there was all cottages back there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some cottages that came... as I say, where we lived on the front of Commercial Road, but there was also cottages at the back.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then came Albert Street, and then I forget what was on the corner, but then I think they pulled it down and they built a shop on the corner. But then there was another tall shop, which I think is a Chinese now.
Right, I know that.
It used to be Lamin's post office.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was another little shop, which is, I think it's a Portuguese cafe.
Yes, it used to be
the tall one, Martin's, with Lammy's, and then another one sort of went that way, like a bungalow type of thing.
Yeah.
You went about two or three steps down.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget who had that, but it then was sold and somebody sold wallpaper and paint
mm-hmm.
there. And then came, oh dear, what was his name? His name evades me.
Mm.
It then went to Norman Baker, the antique bloke.
Yeah.
And then came the Vine Pub.
Oh, right. So that's where the Vine... Oh. Okay.
Yeah, and then the Vine Pub.
Mm.
And then there were some more little cottages.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came up to Mr. Seaton and then up to that corner again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you lived down that end there with Mum and Dad, whereabouts did you go to school down there?
The council school.
Right.
What is now the police station.
Ah, right.
But it was, when we went, it was called the council school. Yeah. But then it went to the Westload.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the police station.
Right, okay. Yes.
There.
Yes.
Yes. And next door to that was, well, both sides, there was little, like, wooden shops, one side of it.
Yeah.
I forget who was in the first one. There was a lady in the middle that sold sweeties.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was another one there. Not quite sure. I think there's two or three just one side of it, of the gates. And then used to come a couple of houses, and then a big yard, what was Masses.
Yeah.
And they did agricultural bits and bobs and mending tractors and things like that, Masses did.
Yeah.
Because in them days gone by, you used to have the accumulators, didn't you,
for years? Yes, the radios, we were talking about these
the old accumulator.
I did on, with the wireless, yes.
That's right,
and I used to have to take, that was the youngest.
You didn't take your accumulators to the forge to be done, because in there he's got a bit of equipment for charging accumulators. And
I never knew he did them.
Oh, okay.
You were just saying.
Yeah.
No, everybody took them to Masses.
Ah, right.
I do remember I got, you know, my mum said to me, oh, we haven't got a battery for tonight. Nip up quick with your bike, she said, before our Masses shuts.
Yeah.
She said, the spare battery's up there. Well, of course, I nipped up on my bike, and of course, the acid drops a bit.
Yeah.
And it dropped on the hem of my skirt, burnt two or three little holes
in, and
then I got one or two on my tight front, well not tights, because they were stockings, tights weren't invented, they were stockings, and that. So I didn't have a very profitable evening picking that thing up, because it flopped about in my basket, you know, and the acid dropped, but... and then the other way was the Still Vaults, which is now the King's Head.
Right,
right,
yes.
I know the King's Head.
Yeah. Then there was a little shop called Ginny Sparks, a little old lady used to keep that.
Yeah.
Yes, Alex talked about Ginny Sparks, yes.
Yeah, Ginny Sparks.
Yeah.
And then come... Now, what was his name, was it? Oh, dear. He used to mend bikes and all of that. Bike mender. His house was... It was his house, really. Cottage.
Right.
But,
yeah.
like hers was. But she had, like, a sweetie shop and whatnot, whatever, in her front room.
Yes.
Yes.
And
I heard people talk about Ginny's bikes. And
she used to make pulp. And whatnot. She had a gas bottle, you know, to put the physics. She just put the water in and the colour in and whatever, however she used to make it, in these little bottles like this. Penny. There used to be penny bottles of pulp.
Yes, right. John's and talked about that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And then she used to put the fizz in, you know.
Yes, yeah.
And have them in a little tray.
Yeah.
Us kids used to go and get them, you know, for
a penny
bottle of pop.
Fantastic,
yes. Yes, we've got two friends.
Yeah, and then there used to be another now I think it's for people that they can't manage on their own. Mm-hmm. You know, they're slightly backward type of people, you know. Bless them, they can't help it, I know. But that's the only way I can explain them, you know. Right. A bit slow on the uptake. And they have a place there, don't they? And live there. Well, that used to be the Crown pub. And then there used to be, what did his name used to be? There used to be a house at the end, then there used to be a bay-windowed house. The sister was a cookery mistress at the Gleed School. Oh, forgotten her name now. And then there was a long, like, driveway cart, proper cart track down to some things at the back. And then there was some more shops and bits and bobs and cottages.
Along there?
Along there, you know. And that till you got to further up.
Yeah.
And Mr. Nicholson used to be at the corner, which is now the Indian shop. Indian restaurant, Nicholson's.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
We're right up by the
Pinchway Road.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And then between there, and as I say, these cottages, there was Mrs. There was Catlin's. They sold clothes, working clothes and that.
Yeah.
And then there was I don't know why ever he got that nickname, but Donkey Sheriff. Sherrod. Sherrod's used to be there.
Right.
And then were some cottages,
right.
Houses, and then cottages.
Right.
And then you come up to 1, 2, 3, and there used to be a little sweetie shop. Then there used to be, what was his name? Names evade me. Then there used to be a little pork butcher's. Then the Salvation Army, and then Mr. Nicholson's, and his bakery was in between. At the side, where that side door is, there was a he used to bake his own bread, you see, in there, and that and go on the rounds.
Fantastic.
And
that,
and then his shop was on the corner.
Yeah,
yeah.
So when you got married, were you in the same area of town, or did you move from?
Oh no, love, I got married from, because we lived down Willisby Road.
Right.
We went in them new, brand new, those houses.
Right.
Because the council, what you would call this day and age, slum clearance.
Right.
You know, they pulled all those cottages down on that. On Commercial Road, and built those council houses. And then, they built Willisby Road, Royce Road, and Edward Road, more or less one after the other.
Yes.
And it was a toss-up whether which one got finished first, where we went out of our cottages. And, of course, at that time, Willisby Road was done, so we all went into Willisby Road. That's how we got to Willisby Road, that's in the days when you could write your name on the, which Uncle Jack did, he went and wrote on the wall, please reserve this house for J.W. Myers, 61 Commercial Road. Mr. Turnell, who lived next door to us on Commercial Road, he went next door because it was a four bedroom one next door because he'd got more children, and he wrote, save this for Walt Turnell, as I want to still live next door to Jack. Honest. Begotten.
Yeah. Yeah.
Begotten. Yeah. Yeah. And the rent was 3 and threepence.
God.
Three and threepence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. But by the time Auntie was a widow, mm-hmm. and she got 10 shillings a week with his pension,
yes,
my mother
the rent
did.
Had gone up to 9 and 9 pence.
Yeah.
So she had 3 old pence left.
God, yes.
And that.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of these today really want to...
Yeah.
They haven't got a clue what they're talking about.
No, absolutely
not. Not a clue.
Yes. Yes.
And that. And talk about housekeeping.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, this here council, well...
Mm.
I don't know their bank account adds up each month, the way they go on in town.
A little bit of this and a little bit of that,
Yeah.
My father died when I was, when he was 46.
Yeah.
And because my mother wasn't the right age, she was too young, she was a 10-shilling widow, as they were known, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I was still at school.
Yeah.
I was only 15, and my elder sister was married. My middle sister got married sort of a couple of years after Dad went. And,
And,
I mean, our rent was more than the 10 shillings.
Oh, yeah.
Our rent a week, you know, so, I mean, how you could expect to live on 10 shillings.
Yeah. Well, my mother...
50p, as it would be now. Yeah.
Well, as I say, it should do some of them good this day and age to have what we had.
Definitely.
Because it would learn them.
Yeah.
And good indeed.
I mean, I think the government's too soft with some of these young girls. Because,
yeah.
I mean, soft. You know, they have a different boyfriend every week, you know. And I mean, if it didn't take you 9 months to have a baby... They'd be having one every other month, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Because if they were born as quick as that, some on them, they're already true.
Yeah.
Some on them, and that, you'd be right overrun.
Yeah.
And they haven't got no more sense of life or one. And that, I mean, in our day and age, well, anyway, I wouldn't have dared to know, because, you know, Auntie'd have had poor old Ray's head off his shoulders in 2 seconds.
And so, what did he do? Do you remember what he did?
Who?
Your husband, Ray.
Ray?
Yeah, what?
He worked at Leverton's. He was accounts manager and credit controller for 32 years.
Oh, fantastic, yes.
Oh, yeah. So, he worked there. That was him there years back.
Yeah.
Not when he was younger, but...
And what did you... Did you do anything? Were you, or did you look after the home?
Well,
I said that wrong, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yes, you were.
Everybody always thinks if you're just a housewife,
you do nothing.
You're nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
But a housewife is one of the most important jobs.
Yes. If you're bringing up kids and looking after a house.
Yeah.
Very, very
because,
important.
I mean, you're not only just a housekeeper.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, you have to be cook.
Yeah.
Head cook and bottle washer, babysitter, you know, everything that goes, bit of a doctor, a bit of a nurse, and one thing and another.
Well, you have the greatest responsibility because you are looking after the next generation.
Yeah. Of course you are. That's what I told my granddaughter a bit ago. And that was in Marks and Spencer's last year at Milton Keynes, this is.
Yeah.
And she was taking the mickey out of me. I said, look, young lady, I said, it's all right, you sat that side of that table. I said, but do you realise, I said, taking the mickey out of your grandmother, you're looking at your next gen, your generation. So she said, why? Well, I said, I'm your grandmother. I said, you just think, I said, in a little while, I said, you'll be like me. I said, I'm your next generation.
Yeah.
And that, up, you know.
Yeah,
yes.
It's
a big
responsibility.
Yeah.
It is, and nobody gives a housewife really credit for what she actually does.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that.
Yeah.
But no, I did used to part time work.
Yeah.
You
know.
That's
what I mean, basically.
And
yes.
I used to do anything and everything, but I was at home.
Yeah.
I was a homework.
Oh,
I did homeworking.
Yeah.
And so I would make sure I was at home for children coming home from school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I once went after a job at Hanson's in town.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be opposite Mr. Nicholson.
Right.
Dress shop and drapers, there was. And Mr. Hanson, the old chap, he interviewed me and that. He said, well, what happens if, with your children, if, say, they was ill, would you stay at home to look after them, or would you, you know, still come to work?
Yeah.
And school holidays? Oh, no, I said, if my children was ill and needed me, oh, no, I said, you'll have to manage at the shop. I shall stop at home and look after my children.
Yeah.
I said, my children come before your job.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, I never got the job, but I wasn't...
But you had the right attitude.
Yeah.
No. But, and it's like, as I say, I mean, you say your father died when you was young. My husband's mother, she died when he was 15. In fact, he found her dead in bed.
Mm.
And you know, with her, because she got cancer. Yeah. But my dad, I mean, he went back to the steelworks in Sheffield, because all my family... I'm the only one born out of Yorkshire for donkey's years. Generations. I'm the only one born out of Yorkshire.
Yeah, well, I thought you were Yorkshire, because when you mentioned Ilkley earlier on, your son...
No, this friend of ours came from there.
Mm. Oh, right.
No,
sorry, I thought
my family all come from Sheffield and Rotherham. They was all in the steelworks and that. And, of course, he didn't like it. He came out of the forces, you see, and that, because he was in India 8 years, came home and Mum and him got married, because she was engaged to him before he went out there, you see. And then he couldn't stick the life round here, so he went back to Sheffield and left us. And left my mother absolutely destitute.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. And that. Mm. And so you say about wages, we, Auntie used to have threepence in the old money left.
Yeah.
My mother used to walk, because she couldn't ride a bike, and she used to walk to a farm from Willisby Road, just past Weston, which is 4 miles away, so she'd go about 5 or 6, do a day's work, ploughing the land, etc., for this farmer, and then she would walk home 6 days a week, and she got a guinea.
Yeah.
See, that's what I think is interesting, and just recording this, I mean, we can then keep it for other people, just to learn how different it is today to how it was. I think next generations just don't understand that.
No,
I don't think our children understand my
childhood. No. And as I say, I mean, when my dad left my mum, I mean, Auntie and Uncle Jack was the other side, well, of the road, so I stayed there, and Uncle Jack said, well, because that day, they used to call it parish relief, didn't they?
That's right,
So, anyway, they said about it, and he said, go up and see what they can do. She didn't want them to give her any money. She wanted them to help her out while she got a job, and she said she would pay them back so much per week till she paid back what... They'd blown her.
Yeah.
And that. And when she came back, Uncle Jack said, how'd you get on with to her? She said, oh, look, we got 2 tickets for the workhouse.
Wow.
That's the only help any government official ever gives. Mm. 2 tickets for the workhouse.
Yeah.
So Uncle Jack said, well, I'll show you what to do with them. And he threw them up high back.
Yeah.
He said, now, go home, pack your togs and bring them over here. He said, then go to your rent man, because she rented a cottage. He said, you tell the rent man and whatnot, you're giving that cottage up. We've got a back bedroom. You come to us and live with us. Mm-hmm. And while I've got a crust of bread and a pot of tea, he said, you're welcome to half of it.
Yeah.
He said, now... Go on, he said, you're not going in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, And if it hadn't been for them, we would have...
You would have been in the workhouse.
And this is what I say about the young girls today.
Yeah. No idea, yes.
I mean, the money they get.
Yes.
And what they get it for.
Exactly.
And it's the same as these here. I'm not saying nothing against the foreigners, don't get me wrong. I mean, you can't help who you're born, what family you're born into. You can't help that.
You have no control.
Because, I mean, we've got some Indian people at our doctors, and they're lovely.
Yeah.
They're ever so good and ever so kind.
Yeah. Yes.
Especially my doctor, she's beautiful. And that. And, but, no, I don't say anything if they come here and will work.
And integrate into our way of life.
Yeah. And whatnot. It's the riffraff I don't agree with.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No. It's the riffraff I don't agree with and that. And how the government kowtow to all and sundry. As I've always said, we should never have gone in the common market.
Yes, I must have
They're over there, and we're an island. Yeah. We've always been an island people.
Yeah.
Always. And we should have stayed an island. They shouldn't have made the Channel Tunnel.
Yeah.
And the others should have stayed there and us stay here.
Yeah.
And that. And I'm dead against it and whatnot. And because I always did say, Blair should have been a man. I stood up and stood his ground and had a pile of canoes at Dover and a pile of oars, and when they got here, gave them a boat, gave them a paddle and said,
paddle back.
Sling you up, we're not having you, and whatnot, and that's it. And we're not having you.
Yeah, because I won't go through the tunnel. There's no way you'll get me through the tunnel.
Oh, it's all right. I've been to it several times. Oh, yeah. It's a bit muggy.
Yeah.
Because there's no, I know it's supposed to be air conditioned, but there isn't because of the fumes from the engines and all of that.
Yeah.
But no, I mean it's okay. I mean you're not. In fact, you don't know you're under there.
Yeah, really? Yes.
No, you're under.
Don't want to know. About.
You're under before you know. Yes, do you know what I mean? Yes, you've got your windows like your railway carriages. Yes, you've got your windows. And you could see the sights, and suddenly all you see is grey.
Yeah.
And because the first time we went, I said to Ray, oh, we're under the tunnel, we're in the tunnel. Yes, he said, didn't you notice? I said, no, not until I've looked at the window. And I didn't know we was underneath, you know, and that.
No, in London, the Blackpool Tunnel, or, you know, the tunnels there, I just hold my breath, and the Dartford Tunnel, because of course I was...
Well,
I just hold my breath to get to the other end, you know.
Yeah, well then, yes. Because, I mean, they're roadways, aren't they, really?
Yes, yeah.
And that. Yeah,
Yes.
Yeah. We've been in
amongst the... thought of all that water above my head.
You know, in Switzerland and all of that, they've got traffic lights and things in there. It's where the junctions and...
Yeah.
What have you? Because, you know, as I say, it don't bother me, you know, to go in them and that.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say there about Spalding something or other.
So, how's Spalding changed for you? And if you think back to your childhood and the things that you miss in Spalding that you hadn't. As it's changed through time, you know.
Well, shops, decent shops.
Yes, can imagine.
And I mean, at one time, I mean, as I say, I never noticed it when I was younger. But my auntie was a large lady who brought me up, and she could always get a large person could always get clothes in Spalding. But not this day and age.
Right. Yeah.
And the younger ones, when you walk in the shop, you haven't got... In some shops, they're okay, but they look at you. They look at your eye up and down, and the courtesy isn't always there.
Yeah.
Some shops, yes. Some shops are very much so, mm-hmm. and some I wouldn't give them time of day.
Right. Yeah.
And that.
Yeah.
And I mean, and there's that many food places, isn't there?
Far too many.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dear, oh dear, there is.
Along Winsover Street, I mean, every other shop.
Well, my father-in-law was a cobbler. Mm. Now, his shop is a
takeaway.
Trios. You know Trios, the little cafe, opposite the Co-op?
Oh, yes, yes.
There, near traffic lights.
Yeah.
That used to be, oh dear, come on, Bob, put your brain up together. It used to be a chippy there, and then was Ray's dad's shop, what he rented off the people that owned the chip shop.
Right.
Yeah. Well, then they sold, they retired to Colchester, and Mr. and Mrs. Fairbanks bought it. But then, of course, then after a time, he gave the shop up, he retired and finished and moved, and then, so therefore, then they made his shop into a cafe.
Right.
Fish shop cafe. Yeah. And that. And then it was a chip shop for years like that.
Yeah.
And then eventually now, I think, where the chippy was, it's a foreign shop, I think.
Yeah.
And then Trios is where Ray's dad's shop actually was.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Because there used to be a passageway there and then Bennett's Butchers.
Right.
And then there used to be Gray's, the electrical plumber, electrical people. And then there used to be Mr. Harrison, the chemist. Harrison's the chemist. And then there used to be another corn merchants. I don't know if they want Garwells or not, I'm not sure. And then come a middle lane with a foundry at the bottom of it.
Yes.
And then the other side used to be Boyd's piano shop. And then piano shop, then it used to be Bedford's, I think. And then Parkinson's, the butcher's, and where Aldi's is now, and then there used to be Coles. They had a little dress shop, little outfitter shop, and there used to be what was it called? Was it Northern? No, I think Northern was further up. I forgot what that. It used to be a pub anyway.
Yeah.
Because Hardy's used to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hardy and Clifton, the bakers, used to be in...
No.
Well, they... she kept it, Mrs. Hardy. And then, as I say, used to be Cole's shop. And he had a bookies round the corner in St. Thomas's Road.
Right.
But his wife had the clothier shop, and then they used to come, because there was Hardy's and Clifton's, there was relation, you know.
Oh, right, yes.
But one had the shop in the Crescent and one had the shop on the corner of Winsover Road and St. Thomas's Road, on the corner.
Yes, well,
and then the other side of the road, there used to be a grocery shop,
right,
and that there.
Yeah. And so
there used to be a lot of little shops.
It was very well represented, Spalding, for shopping. You could get just about.
You could get anything.
Yes, you could get
anything.
You ever needed.
Like from Pinchbeck.
In Spalding itself, you didn't have to go out.
Oh no.
Whereas nowadays.
Nowadays, you have to go out.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And that you see
so
along Pinchbeck, not Pinchbeck Road, New Road from Pinchbeck Road corner. There was Floyd's at the corner, which was news agents and sweetie shop. Then there was Hanson's. Then there was Maples, the solicitors.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Then there was a little shop that was called Pam's, that lady that you're going to see.
Right.
Then there was Pam's. Then there was Jewellers.
Yes.
Then there was a little shop that, I don't know, they still sell models, model aeroplanes.
Oh, yes, there is along there, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's, I'm trying to think who there was. We was friendly with, I was friendly with the daughter. Oh, there.
Was there a garage then?
Yeah, and then there was a garage.
Right.
Then there was hairdressers.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a top quality cake shop, mm-hmm. Turner's. Then there was Cherrington's, the bicycle man's. Mm-hmm. And then there was Knipe's fish shop, which the grandmother to that girl.
Right.
Again.
Yes.
Her grandmother was called Knipe.
Right.
But her mother worked in the shop as well.
Yeah.
As mm-hmm. Pam. And because I went to school with her.
Right.
Then Mrs. Jenkinson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether her husband got killed in war or what.
Right.
But I never, you know, never knew Pam's dad and that. She never ever spoke of it, you know, never heard and that.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether he got killed in the war or or what happened, but, you know, she hadn't got her dad like most of us and that. And but then when this other little shop come empty, her mum bought it for Pam. And she sold baby clothes.
Oh,
it was a little baby shop.
Yes.
A little shop. Yeah. You get some lovely little things from
there.
You know.
Yeah.
No, we've had a lot of nice shops. Right. And then from the chip shop, there used to be an old cart track down to what was the back way of the Hayley Stewart now.
Right,
the Black Swan Field used to be down there.
Yeah.
And, it was horrible down there. You used to walk through, you know, like a crew yard going down and whatnot. Because they had barns and all that down there, you know, horses and one thing and another.
Yeah.
And where Knipe's fish shop was there, there used to be a little, what was it? Was she a, I can't think, I think it was a, well, Harrison's fruit shop used to be there. Now it's a barber's. But I'm trying to think who was there before it was Harrison's. And then there was an old lady sold sweets.
Yeah.
But I would never buy anything from there. Oh, Catch, Catch used to sit in to boxes of sweets.
Oh,
and
really?
Because they was open, you see.
Yes, yeah. 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 That's
so
right.
No sort of hygiene and that.
Yeah.
Oh no! I mean, if you wanted to, you wanted any sweets or anything, and you wanted a certain sort of cat, she said, "Go, go, go," and then weigh you a quarter of sweets. Say, "I have a thought." She didn't care. Oh no! It used to be a right grubby little shop.
Yes,
people used to go in. People used to go in, you know.
Yeah. We used to have a. We used to live in Sidcup. We were both. We lived
just
within about
a corner from each other.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And there was an old lady's
Mrs.
shop.
Mrs. Woolaway.
Mr.
Mrs. Woolaway.
Yes,
well, there was a Mr. Woolaway, but he died.
Yeah. And this shop was.
Oh, terrible.
Yes.
It's like going into the black hole of Calcutta. It was so dark and dismal, you know. And you know there was mouldy bread on there. Oh, it was a terrible, terrible shop.
There was nothing like hygiene. But after saying all of that, how many of that generation ever died from catching anything?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that. And how many colds and coughs did you get in the winter time?
Right.
And you never heard ear infections
and
all kids seem to have nowadays.
And I'll tell you another thing we never used to get, what we get these days, excuse me, love, but I had to laugh at my daughter-in-law one day, because she's got two girls and a boy, And one of them, she got to about 12 or so, yeah. 14. Mm. And she said, she's quite hormonal at the moment. Don't talk to her, Nanny. So I said, what do you mean hormonal?
Yeah, that's a word we never use.
So she said, well, you know, she said, hormones and that. I said, well, no, I don't.
We didn't get hormonal, did we?
You didn't know. Well, I didn't even know. And I mean, what?
Well,
I was 70 then. And I still didn't know. I still don't really know what they mean about it. And that, but I don't show me ignorance that much these days. Just to take the mic out. And I said, hormones.
Anything,
I said, we wasn't. I said, if there was a bit in our day, I said, we wasn't allowed them. I said, I would never have dared said to my auntie, I was fed up.
Yeah.
Because she said, right, young lady, come on, in the kitchen.
Yes.
There's half a stone of bread here. She said, here, roll your sleeves up, get that kneaded up. Because she always made her own bread, you see. Never bought bread at all.
But there was never time to be bored or fed up, because there was always
something to do.
Yeah. To do.
Yeah, and the auntie would make me do it.
Yes,
you know.
That's right.
What sort of food would you have had at home?
Food?
Was it sort of... what did you have for breakfast in the morning? What was it?
Boiled egg or a bit of toast and marmalade, whatever was going. Because in wartime, you see, as well.
Yeah, well, that's right. And then lunchtime, did you have two meals or did you have one meal?
No, I used to come home from work and possibly... I'll have a sandwich or a cup of soup or something.
Yeah.
Because we had an old-fashioned range Auntie had in our houses.
Yes.
And that with the cauldron on the hook at the back. And I don't think that all during wartime, or ever, that cauldron was ever empty.
Yeah.
I think she used to stock it up. And, of course, we kept chickens down the garden, which she was allowed. We kept chickens down the garden. And if it wanted something in, you know, a chicken would be killed and plucked and one thing and another, and in the pot it would go. And a load of vegetables.
Yes,
and,
and there was always a kettle on the range.
Oh, yeah.
For a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Always, yes.
Yeah. And there was always a rice pudding in
that's
the side
right.
of
oh, and
the side of and there was all gorgeous.
And we used to squabble over the skin on the top. It was your turn last time, it's my turn this time.
I know.
Rice pudding's in the range.
Or there'd be, and there'd be the pension on the bottom with the bread rising, and once it got to the top and the tea cloth started to rise, then it would be, everything would be pushed back on the table. And the big breadboard would come out, and there'd be flour, fluffing all over, and a bread tin's out. And, as I say, we had all things like that, and we used to make a walloping big steamed pudding. Yes. Just plain, plain steamed pudding.
Yes.
And if you wanted, with your dinner, you know, she'd take all this veggie and chicken and meat and whatever we'd got out of the pot, and she'd cut this big steamed pudding and put a big thick slice on your plate and then this like stew affair and things. And then what was left afterwards, if you hadn't used all your jam ration up or whatever, or you got any fruit or... as I say, raspberry vinegar or something, you would put that on, and you'd have another chunk of steamed pudding with whatever was going on it.
It would go with savoury and sweet.
And that's why she never put sometimes she'd make a steamed treacle pudding.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that, but not very often. It's nearly always plain. Yeah. You know. Yeah. And then you used to have them.
Bacon roly poly down in the cloth.
Yeah, in the cloth. I was just going to say, all smudgy and soggy and that on the outside. Oh, it looked like.
Nowadays, the wrong sort of food, but we're still here.
Yeah, but that's the point.
Yeah, this is the point, yes.
I mean, they say all that is wrong for you, and one thing and another, but look who is left. Yeah. And when you look, how many of them are dying at younger age?
Exactly, and how many centenarians? I mean, to reach 100 was, well, you hardly ever heard of anybody reaching 100. Now, there are so many people who actually get to the 100.
Yeah.
It's incredible, you know.
Yeah.
And they've all been brought up, obviously, on bread and dripping, bacon roly-poly.
You used to buy some room and sort of get jelly at the bottom of the dripping jar.
That's it.
You know, that thick brown jelly.
Yeah.
And it used to be as salty as hell, didn't it?
Yes. You're not allowed to eat salt now. And yet, you know, we sort of lived on things like that.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And that, and... same as in the wartime. I mean, I used to call her auntie.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Her name's gone there. Lady at Manchester. Her husband and her sister. Well, her sister and her used to come down here because both their husbands was in the parish, you see.
Right.
Yeah.
And auntie used to rent the back bedroom, well, the middle bedroom out to them if they wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy, that was her name, Peggy Boyle. And they used to come down to be with the husbands and that, to see them and what have you. Never used to stop at our house. The men used to be at the barracks and the two ladies. Auntie wouldn't have that. No, she said, I don't mind having you... But and don't mind your husband's visiting you, but they don't stay overnight because I've not got space for anything.
Yeah.
So she wouldn't have that at all. No, she was too strict.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, Peg used to do a bit of black market, I think, in Manchester, and she used to bring extra food coupons, you know, one thing.
Yeah.
What you could barter with.
Yes.
And that.
Yeah.
And I do remember at top of Willisby Road was somebody, there was some cottages up on River Bank.
Yeah.
But then there was proper gypsies, there was. Real hippos and that there was. And I know you shouldn't say that, that's wrong nowadays, but
that's how we were brought up. Yes, we called them that.
And, but do you know, there was ever such nice people. And this lady used to come down to Auntie and ask Auntie, because, as I say, she was always good with anybody. She'd got a bit of anything, you know, she'd make some bits for the kids and what have you. And because she got about 4 or 5 kiddies and that, she'd come to Auntie and say, "Have you got any spare clothes or whatever?"
Yeah.
But, you know, she used to make the most beautiful soap. And it used to be... like dark brown stuff, looked horrible, and it was all in a big long slab like this, about that square, and you cut a slice off when you wanted it.
Yeah.
But lather, it lathered beautiful.
Uh-huh.
So how she used to make it, we never knew, but you know,
she did.
They do a bit of tradition, you see, don't they?
Yeah, and handed down,
And she used to bring auntie soap because, you see, soap was rationed in the war. You couldn't get it.
Yeah.
So we was always got plenty of soap.
Yeah.
And when she wanted the washing, she had an old suet grater. And I can remember sitting on a Sunday night scraping away like this to get soap flakes for the washing next day as a kid. And so, of course, she used to bring auntie things like that, and he got a little van, as well as his horse and cart, and I'm sure his pile of manure was as high as what the fence was that was round his yard, and that, he had a huge pile in the, I never knew whatever happened to it, but
it disappeared away on its own.
And, so, he used to say, oh, if I get you so-and-so, he said, has Peg brought any petrol coupons? So, you know, she say, oh, yeah, I've got a few petrol coupons. I mean, we haven't even got a bike, no mind about a car.
Yeah.
And so you used to, whatever you'd got, you swapped with one another, you know. You got a bit of something here for something else, what you've got.
Yeah.
And it did. It was a right barter in the wartime.
Yeah.
And I know, what was his name? Walt Crust was the butcher. He was near Chainbridge, but on Albion Street.
Yes.
This side.
Yeah.
Where Chippy and the Forge was, he was dead opposite them. This side of the river.
Yeah.
And that, and Walt Crush used to say to Auntie sometime, I got a chicken to spare. I've got a, you know, these here posh customers and that sometimes. They didn't want the meat, they wanted a chicken for, you know, I'm having so and so come for lunch and whatnot. Yeah. So, and he knew Auntie had always got chickens in the garden. And, she used to say, yeah, but what are you going to give me for it? Oh, you can have a bit extra, how about a bit extra beef this week, or a bit extra pork or something. That'll do me, she said, because we used to have lodgers, you see, because, as I say, with a knot, she couldn't go out to work.
Yeah.
And so one room was always given up to a lodger, like, or couple on them, and that. I mean, people did used to have in that day and age.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, of course, as I say, she used to get a bit extra meat and sausage and things like that, and he used to get a chicken. No money passed hands.
Right.
No,
just
you.
Meat and
just,
meat.
You just swapped it.
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And that with butcher and no.
Yeah.
It was like me. I mean, I don't drink tea at all. I could have offered you a cup of tea, Lord.
No.
No, absolutely not.
It's because I don't drink it and I don't drink, you see, much. And drink water or lemonade or something. And so anyway, I don't drink tea, and of course you didn't have coffee when you was a child.
No, that's right, I don't have tea.
But I used to love Vitacorp. Now, Mr. Maltson, he used to have a little shop further up from where Pam's grandma's chip shop was. It went further along.
Right.
And Mr. Maltson. Now, old Dr. Dodds and Munro, the doctors in town where we used to, once a month, Auntie wasn't allowed it because of her heart, because it gathered fat round her heart. But, because she had a heart condition, but because he knew that I only drunk Vitacorp, he used to give a chit to Auntie to go to Mr. Molson to get one tin of Vitacorp per month. It wasn't free, Auntie had to pay for it, like when you got at groceries. And but it was on like dockets or what you get from the doctors. The doctor's
note.
And he used to get supply Auntie with that every month, purely because he knew
that
I only drunk that,
yeah,
and I didn't have anything else, you see, apart from water.
Yeah.
And that's how I used to get my hot drink in the wartime, and that through the doctor. And that, and
This was, I mean, you used to get orange juice through the clinic.
Our babies, babies, you couldn't get the and you used to get your tinned Ministry of Food milk as well. Yeah, you used to get that as well, you know.
Yeah, I always remember that there was orange juice at the clinic.
And I tell you another thing Auntie had got, right up in the cupboard, and we were threatened with our lives not to touch this little bottle like that. but it was poison. And it was right up, because we had them cupboards at the side of your range.
Yes.
You used to have these long cupboards. Yeah. Didn't
we had fender boxes.
Well, we had, in the corner.
For the cold, yeah.
Where the fire finished, the end of the wall, there was a big cupboard. And on the top shelf, right at the very back, was this little tiny bottle of poison this. And Auntie said she was never going to go under Hitler. She said, I'm not having him rule us. And if we'd have lost the war and whatnot, she always threatened she would use that.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to it, I do not know.
What sort of poison it was?
No, I don't know, because I was only a child. But I know we were threatened with it, not to touch that bottle. And I never did. I only ever saw it once, and it was a black bottle, you know. Mm. Like a sort of pea-shaped thing, with a cork in the top, and it was right at the very back of this cupboard, hidden away, and I once asked what it was for. She said, well, we are not going under Hitler if they win the war.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I look about and I think to myself, well, who the devil did win the war?
Yes.
What was it all about?
Yes, I don't think it was us at the end of the day.
It wasn't. Because, I mean, that's where our ruling comes from. From Europe, don't it?
Yes.
It's them that tell us what to do and whatnot. And, I mean, we've lost all this fishing
rights
and whatever. We've lost this rights and whatnot. And, I mean, they take you to these tribunals and... You know, if you dot your T's in the wrong spot, I mean, everything goes up in arms and one thing and another, you know.
Yes, it's a funny old world, isn't it?
I once had, not here, down the other house, I went to Wilco's one day, and I wanted a little, from the other house, I wanted a little table. And they'd got these like compressed cardboard type of things.
Yes,
and they used to be like a tripod, like a crossways. And then a top you used to sit on with a long cloth over and a lace in it.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted a green one.
Yeah.
Just in this spot in my window down the other house when I'd decorated and whatnot. Well, I went in Wilco's and I'd seen these little tables and I thought, well, I'll have a look, see if they've got a green one. Well, of course, they was all slotted like this, you see.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I naturally pulled them forward, never thinking about the weight. And there I stood pulling them forward. And suddenly they slipped and about 10 fell on my knees like this. Well, I sort of crouched with all these on my knees. Well, I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I yelped, and one assistant's come and she pushed back. So I phoned up next day. I couldn't hardly walk, all my knees did hurt then.
Yeah.
And that. And because with having this bad arthritis, you see what I've got. I rung up next day and spoke to whoever it was, the manager or supervisor, manageress or something. And they said, oh, we have to set our shop out with what head office says. We don't have the choice of how we set things out.
Yeah.
It's them that says.
Yeah.
But next time I went in, I noticed, she said, we've said this before, they should be like this. This way on, but instead of that, there was like this.
Yeah.
And of course it all come forward. Do you know... About a couple of months after that happened, I had a young lad, he didn't look very old, only in his 20s, come knocking at the door from some solicitors to say, did I want to make a complaint and I could have claimed money for it.
Yeah.
I said, I could what? He said, yes, if you like. He said, it's happened within the last 3 years. He said, as long as you're not over 3 years for claiming anything, he said, you can put a claim into them.
Yeah.
Well, I said, I've got a letter from them, I've still got in there, to say they was very sorry it had happened and they hadn't realised that that's what could happen. And they'd set the tables out wrong.
Yeah.
But in future, they would do them the other way. And as far as I was concerned, it was finished.
Yeah. That's right, as we would have done, yes.
But this solicitor come and, you know, wanted to sue him for money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't. And I think he thought I was stupid because I didn't.
Yeah.
You know.
It is the way of life.
Yeah, which is, that's right.
It's wrong.
It is wrong.
It's wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, and this is what I say about these here young girls, I mean, and people, they get money left and right for different things. You know.
Yeah, it's very different.
And you have to work hard for your money.
Exactly.
And pay your taxes and all the rest of it.
Right, and if you were to try to get benefits, they'd laugh in your face, wouldn't they? And say, no, you can't have any.
No.
You've paid in for them. But
you know what? We've